This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it's Monday, my friends. Thank you for stopping in. It was a big weekend for me. For any of you that embrace the outdoors, summer is almost here, so spring is here now, and it's a pretty good spring. So if our rain is going to catch most of us today, if it might be catching you right now in parts of Michigan. Stronger storms could also cruise through the state. Not widespread, but there could be some localized heavy storms, so keep that in mind as you make your way around. It's turkey season. And for those of you that pay attention to such things like myself, that's important. Ivy and I actually went to Ohio for the weekend to partake in their turkey season, which is already open. Michigan's, I believe, opens today. I'd have to check on that. I know that it's open today for sure. I don't know if it opened today, but it is open today for sure. In Ohio, it was open. And Ivy let loose with an arrow and brought home a beautiful wild turkey that we had for dinner last night. See, I'm into free-range wild organic meat. No antibiotics, no growth hormones, no kidding. It is the epitome of organic, and that's the way we live oftentimes. It is Monday here in the program. You know, it's interesting, this whole debate over the $20 bill. Interesting to me, taking Andrew Jackson off the front, putting him on the back. He was the founder of the Democratic Party and a slave owner. A guy who history is not treated particularly well in recent years because of his involvement with the French and Indian Wars and taking on Indian tribes and, some would say, relocating and murdering Indians, Native Americans. And now comes Harriet Tubman. She was not the first choice, by the way. For many, you will be shocked to learn that many that wanted to put the first woman on the front of paper currency here in America wanted to put Margaret Sanger on the front. A woman who specifically targeted African Americans to receive abortions because of her racist beliefs in the world. She was a eugenicist, a racist, anti-black racist specifically. But some liberals wanted to put her on the front of the $20 bill to mark her contribution to women's liberation from motherhood, I guess, or something. But instead of Margaret Sanger, they put on abolitionist Harriet Tubman, which is terrific. It is absolutely terrific. Here is a woman who's known as the Moses of her people. The Moses of her people. Why? Because she led some 300 runaway slaves and former slaves, ran them up the Underground Railroad, ran them to freedom in the North. How'd she do that? Well, by packing a firearm that she wasn't afraid to use, supporting the Republican Party all the way through her ordeal, but mostly she relied on her faith as a Christian. She believed in Jesus Christ as a Christian. So here's what the liberals have done in their push for political correctness, in large part. They have put a devout Christian Republican gun owner who flouted evil Supreme Court decisions and unjust federal laws. They've put her on the $20 bill. And I frankly couldn't be happier. Here's a bit of a column from Mark Tooley. Deeply and charismatically religious, she was shaped all her life by Methodism. Her white owner in Eastern Maryland had a Methodist minister son whose services Tubman's family attended. That area was strongly Methodist, and some Methodists had freed their slaves, although not Tubman's owner. Tubman possibly additionally attended local congregations and camp meetings of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, some of whose revivalistic exhorters were women, who with their male colleagues sometimes skirted or defied the law by hosting gatherings for slaves. Her certainty about hearing God's voice fueled her tremendous courage, leading to her escape with the help from Quakers and thereafter to many years as a leader in the Underground Railroad. Repeatedly returning south covertly, she led scores, possibly hundreds, to liberation in the north. No softy, she reportedly carried a gun and threatened to shoot escaping slaves who endangered the mission by equivocating. She would call that treason, I suppose. She lived until the age of 91, eventually moving into the home for elderly blacks she helped found with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, whose clergy led her funeral, where she was celebrated by blacks and whites alike, including aging veterans of the Civil War, for her faith, service, sacrifice, tenacity, and bravery. Her casket was draped in an American flag. She was buried with a crucifix and a medal from Queen Victoria. You see, this woman epitomizes what America is. This is America. What it should be. The ideals we should strive for. I can tell you that Harriet Tubman did not view herself as a victim. Harriet Tubman did not feel sorry for herself. Harriet Tubman did not sit down because she had some aches and pains. Harriet Tubman was driven by something much larger than herself. She believed in this country. She believed in the ideals of freedom, and that all men and women are created equal. She believed in the faith of her God, and she believed in the reliance on the firearm at her side, and she believed in the Republican Party that had set her free. Harriet Tubman might be the best choice for the $20 bill and much more. She is the kind of person you can set your sights on and say, that I respect. That kind of steadfastness I respect. That kind of fidelity to her beliefs, to herself, and to the people around her is something uncommon today. This is an American hero. I just wonder how much research the left actually did on a hardcore Christian Republican gun-carrying woman before they said, yeah, let's put her on the $20 bill. But I want to thank those folks for doing so. It's Monday on The Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Legal matter, baby. You got me on the run. It's a legal matter, baby. A legal matter from now on.
All right, it's Monday. Welcome to the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you on board. You know, you always wonder how the attorney is doing these class action lawsuits, because from what I can tell, they all do well, very well for themselves. Oftentimes, at the end of the process, the attorneys end up with more money than the plaintiffs. You've seen that happen time and again, and you ask yourself, now how did that happen? Lawrence Schonbrunn is here, the Berkeley, California attorney for the petitioning class member in the Lafitte case, and we need to understand what that is a little bit closer. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Steve. This is a case, it's in the California Supreme Court now, it's a tort reform case, and it's looking at the way attorneys are paid in class actions.
Well, do tell.
And in this case, there are two issues. The first one is, should lawyers be paid based on the work they do in the case, as opposed to getting a fixed percentage of the settlement?
Well, the way it's usually done, as you know, attorneys will take cases like this and they'll take it, you know, they'll take a percentage. Sometimes 30% will be their take on a big case. So they don't get paid anything. At least that's what they tell you. But in truth, they do charge for all sorts of things, including work for their secretaries and correspondence back and forth. There's a lot of money that gets piled up. Am I right or wrong about that?
An incredible amount of money gets piled up. And the problem is, they don't want to base it on work, and the percentage they want, in my case, a third, which is the same percentage a lawyer would get if they took an individual's case, so that they want to handle these cases wholesale and charge the clients retail.
Well, right, and they do, and they win. So here's the question, though, Lawrence.
Go ahead.
I mean, a lot of people have tried to get tort reform done in this country time and again. It never happens. In fact, America is the only country that I'm aware of in the West world that doesn't have a loser pay system. Me as a business owner could be sued by anybody for just about anything. I could be bankrupted and it could be proven that it's a nonsense case. And yet the person that brought suit against me, hey, there's no ramifications for them. They're not in any peril whatsoever. But in every other country in the world, like England and France, if you bring a bogus lawsuit, you pay the bill if it's bogus.
Yes, that's the reason why the litigation is out of control in this country. There's no penalty for suing anyone. And an added problem is that, as you mentioned, anyone can sue anybody for anything.
At any time. You got it.
And in the U.S., in the class action situation, the courts, after allowing anyone to sue, want these cases to settle. So they put incredible pressure on the defendant to settle the case rather than take it to trial.
Right. Now, here's the problem, though. They settle, and what does that create? It creates more incentive for lawyers to sue because they get this payoff, and it's easier, and again, they're going to collect a third. Their contingency fee is going to be a third. But how do you get through tort reform when you have 90% of the U.S. Congress are attorneys? Of course, all the judges, well, they're attorneys. It's a system set up by attorneys, for attorneys, and run by attorneys. How do you get tort reform when all their buddies are making all this money off from working people? Because let's be honest, attorneys don't produce anything. They don't actually physically create anything. What they do, they're a parasite, frankly. No offense to the good attorneys, but you're a parasite. You're taking the work product of others for yourself. You don't create a car. You don't create a movie. You don't create a book. You don't create anything. You take from those that do create and build and create wealth, and they usurp it, frankly. They take it. How do you get tort reform in that situation, though?
Well, I said to myself, funnily enough, I've been doing this for many years, and initially I thought that a financial disaster would cause things to change. But after 2009, I now realize it has to be a financial catastrophe. I don't see anything short of that happening that's going to change this system. For the very things that you point out, lawyers are in control, and lawyers, you know, run the country more or less.
More.
And yeah. And there's this liberal, I mean, the country has a liberal philosophy. Until that liberal philosophy changes, class actions are part of that whole liberal philosophy. And tort reform has fallen through the cracks. I don't know if you remember, one of the cycles when Obama was running, there was talk of tort reform, but it just got lost.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always gets lost out there. Yeah, it's a great conversation piece. But at the end of the day, these state legislatures have to begin by passing laws at the state level. You have to get to the federal level. So what is your, do you have an inroad? Do you have a possibility? Do you have any chance of making progress?
Well, I mean, I don't know. people have told me with regard to my lawsuit that they'd bet on Don Quixote winning before they'd bet on my winning. But, I mean, I've raised, you know, all I can say is I've raised this issue. Typically, it's not even talked about. When I started doing this, they used to say, you know, XYZ company settles for $20 million and never mentioned the fee that the lawyers were taking out of the case.
Good point. I mean, at least it is getting talked about. And before we run here real quickly, is there some place that people can check in on you to see what kind of progress you might be making? Do you have a place where they can go, a resource, a website?
Well, I think I don't have a website at this point.
It's okay.
It's just a phone call to 510-547-8070. Other than, it's gotten press. We've been in the Wall Street Journal, and we have a big article in the Chronicle newspaper out here as well. So
you're making progress, Lawrence. We have to run, but I appreciate you coming. We're going to check back with you here in a few weeks to see how you're doing. Lawrence, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Lawrence Schonbrunn.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right, welcome back to it. It's 33 after on a Monday. And I have the ideal person here for something that I need to cover because I need some insight here. Liz Peek joining us, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Liz, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now I have you on. It says here that you're here to talk about delegates and can't Donald Trump buy delegates? And I have a new plan for Mr. Trump. Maybe Bill de Blasio can buy him, you know, the delegates he needs. You're right there in New York. The mayor seems to be in a bit of trouble here today.
High time, too. Yes. Unfortunately, the mayor's got his hand in the cookie jar, or it's so it appears. And I have to say, we have done a pretty good job lately, amazingly, in routing out corruption in this state. You know, it's becoming like Illinois, where sort of every state leader or city leader, too, you sort of expect to end up in the slammer at some
point. Well, yeah, you know, hookers and cookie jars and all sorts of good stuff. You are Illinois. I love it. But the investigator found willful and flagrant violations by DeBlasio. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars being channeled right through City Hall off to candidates. I mean,
yeah,
this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And look, Mayor de Blasio is not very popular anyway. As you may remember, he was elected with 17% of New York voters actually turning out and voting for him. So he never had a big mandate. His management style is sloppy at best, corrupt at worst. Now more and more it looks like corrupt. You know what? I mean... I couldn't be happier, honestly.
Well, here's my point. He is obviously a big star, I guess, on the hardcore left-wing progressive politics. He is a big backer of Hillary Clinton. He is Donald Trump's out there talking about crooked Hillary. Well, look at her biggest pal there in New York is Bill de Blasio.
Well, ironically, as you may recall, he held off endorsing Hillary Clinton, thinking he would thereby become an even bigger voice on the left. And really, the ship sailed without him. The truth is, he dithered too long. By the time he came around to actually, and by the way, Hillary Clinton had supported this guy from day one, so it was really a slap in the face that he didn't immediately come out and support her, rather instead talking about how he wanted to wait and see what kind of policy she put out there. I mean, it was really ridiculous. So finally, he caves to the obvious, goes to Iowa to help her campaign, and basically they don't let him in the door. I mean, he was out wandering the streets. This is true.
Yeah.
In Iowa, knocking on doors all by himself because the Hillary team wanted nothing to do with him. And by the way, when she won really big here last week in New York State, yes, de Blasio was on board, and he was sort of modestly visible. But the truth is, she had everyone in the New York establishment political machine at her side, and de Blasio really has been relegated to a back seat. So
does it have any damage? Does it have any impact
on her?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think because, again, the big voices here are Schumer, and you know, some of Gillibrand and some of the other national, I don't think people nationally could care less about Bill de Blasio. He's too new on the scene, and again, it isn't like he has been mayor for 10 years and done a fabulous job. He's been mayor for very few years, elected by almost nobody, and everyone in New York City is hoping he goes.
Well, he might go a little bit sooner than expected.
Could be.
I don't know how the process works. All right, so let's switch back to, and I think it's a fascinating political story. That's why I brought it up, and you're right there to see it front row. But let's talk about the delegates. Tomorrow, big day, 5 primaries up tomorrow, including Pennsylvania, which is the big prize tomorrow, Maryland, where the, Donald Trump was campaigning yesterday. And now, talking about collusion, Cruz and Kasich, what are they up to?
Well, look, what they want to do is stop Trump from getting to 1,237 delegates. And it is true that if Kasich were not in the race, they probably would have stopped Trump, at least made his path much more difficult. So now Cruz and Kasich are basically saying, okay, I'm going to work on this state. You take some others. The big one, of course, is Indiana. How it has been become that Indiana is the critical state going forward is because the 5 primaries tomorrow are going to go Donald Trump's way. He gets closer and closer to that magic number. And really only contested states going forward, Indiana, where, by the way, he is ahead in the polling.
Anywhere from 5 to 8 points.
Yeah. That's
see, I think the springboard, though, came last week. Everybody expected Trump to win in New York, speaking of New York, but they thought high 40s, low 50s.
Yeah.
Nobody said north of 60%. I mean, he came out of there with a huge win.
It was a blowout. And so now the stop Trump people are pretty much up against a wall. Yeah. And so this is a pretty unusual thing, I think. And frankly, I don't think it'll work necessarily. I think it's a little too difficult to get out the message, don't vote for me, vote for my other guy, for the other guy, because we want to stop the third guy. I think that's kind of scrambled. And also, what does this do to Trump's message? He already likes to play the victim card and say everybody's against me. Now, and it does seem, you know, even if you're impartial, and I'm trying to stay impartial in this race, does that seem fair? Not entirely, right? And it doesn't seem very...
It seems like a perverted way to go about it.
It does. So I think that kind of helps Trump, to be honest. And by the way, some of these states, like Nebraska, where Cruz is anticipating easy victory and stuff, polling shows Trump ahead of him there. So the reality is, and I think people need to kind of begin to just accept this, a lot of people, including myself, think Trump is a better candidate than Ted Cruz. If Ted Cruz is the alternative, you know, I think that's really an unlikely outcome.
And obviously, John Kasich doesn't even enter the conversation there for you.
Well, you know, when you listen to him talk, he's a pretty reasonable candidate. The polling, it is true, his camp always talks about how the polling consistently shows him beating Hillary Clinton. I just can't believe it, because I don't think there's any wow factor. And I think Hillary Clinton is going to have such a powerful first woman president kind of energy and she doesn't have any energy, but her campaign will have energy, that I think that running against Kasich, I just don't see him winning that race.
Yeah, I don't know. Crooked Hillary. I think he's that seems to be what Donald is trying out there. It seems to be working to some extent. And she is low energy. I mean, he used to laugh at Jeb Bush for being low energy. I mean, what is he going to do with her?
Well, Jeb Bush had personal low energy. Hillary shouts. I mean, she's a good shouter, trying to ramp up. But there's no excitement about the campaign, from what I can see. Because for one thing, you need young people to be excited, and they aren't there. They're with Bernie Sanders still, and whether they'll climb aboard the Hillary train when she's nominated, time will tell. But it's not clear at all that they will. And let's face it, 4 more years is not a very exciting message.
Yeah.
That's her message, is, you know, status quo. And look at the status quo. Suicides at a 30-year high, drug addiction soaring. These are not great data points for 4 more years.
No, and not to mention things like food stamps and all-time high. House ownership, home ownership at the lowest point since 1962 or 3. No, these are not good things to hang your hat on.
Really, it's true. So being out there, the woman president thing, I think, obviously resonates with women. And tragically, I think an awful lot of women will vote for Hillary for that reason. And I say tragically because I think she really is not the right candidate. Trump will energize the woman's vote, without a doubt, if he's the candidate. But otherwise, you know, I don't really believe all the polls that show him being squashed by Hillary
either.
Clinton.
I believe it's going to be a fascinating tour for both of us. Liz Peek, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Liz Peek, FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. You can read more from Liz Peek and hear her here on a very regular basis. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Well, it feels a lot like a Monday now, doesn't it? It was a good weekend overall. Temperatures are moderating. You know, I've noticed that, believe it or not, I better mow my lawn this week. Yeah, I'm getting rolling already. Time to mow the lawn. You might have already done that. I haven't done that yet. Didn't get to it over the weekend, that's for sure. I was out of town on a turkey hunt. I told you that a minute ago, and well, that's how I spend my weekend. I didn't really focus on the lawn. It's too early to be worried about that. I'll deal with that for the rest of the summer. And, anyhow. Where are we, Alex? All right. It is Monday. Just sorting a couple of things out for you. Taking a look at the big stories, of course, tomorrow, the five primaries tomorrow that will have a huge impact on where we're going as far as the Republicans are concerned. And then after that, the big primary that we were talking about with Liz Peek is May the 3rd in Indiana. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. If Donald Trump wins in Indiana, you can go ahead and put a fork in it because it's over. He may not get the 1237 by much, or he might come up a few delegates short, but he will get there, that's for sure, if he wins in Indiana. That's my guess. One of the things you concern yourself with, I concern myself with, is the safety and security of all of these devices we have. If all of these devices, you know, if all these electronics that coordinate together, you know, I'm an Apple family, I admit it. So everything talks to everything. Everything's connected, interconnected. And it concerns me about security. If somebody can access my phone, because then because I'm networked, if you will, to my MacBook Pro, does it go eat that, which is connected to Ivy's MacBook Pro? Does it all, I mean, am I at risk, I suppose? Ashley Cook is a mobile security expert joining us here today. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I am very well. Thank you.
Good. You know, it concerns me, and I just lay that out for you. All these things, everything's connected. And if somebody gets in and they start weaseling around, that's my term for the day, weaseling around, I suppose, how much can they find?
Well, I mean, it depends on how much information you keep on your computer or on your phone.
My whole life is in there.
Exactly. And, you know, I like to just go ahead and assume that we all have malware, that whether it be from, you know, your child or your spouse that clicks on something that installs malware on your phone or on your computer and then gets in through your network, I think we all have to assume that we have that because, you know, when we hear about things like this Apple text message scam, we all should know that when you get prompted to put in your personal information from an email or a text message, we shouldn't do it, right? And so the problem is when we do give them access because we are gullible, then that's when we have the security breaches. So I think we just need to know what not to click on.
All right, so let's start with that. This is targeting this particular a bit of malware is targeting iPhone users. Like, I have an iPhone. My wife has an iPhone. We have the MacBooks and so forth. We're all Apple all the time. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's who we are. What is being sent out to people what are they being hooked with?
So what they're being requested to enter their login credentials for their iCloud, okay, or their Apple ID. And again, you know, just as if I picked up the phone and called you and said, hey, listen, I need your login credentials for your Apple ID, your account's been jeopardized or breached, or I need your social security number, we should know that we should not enter in that kind of information at the request of anybody or anything until we verify that it actually is a legitimate request. Now, you're not going to get a request from American Express or Apple through email to enter your account information. That's not going to happen, right? And so I think we just have to know if someone asks for that information, don't do it. You know, a lot of times in the context of an email, you can check up on the where the email came from and see quite clearly that it didn't come from that company. It came from an email address that looks similar but is not the same.
People are gullible, though. Or
yes.
Or they're just in a hurry. I mean, that's the way. I mean, I'm not necessarily gullible, but I'm in a hurry. Oh, what's this? Bam, 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 bam. Because you've got 10,000 things going on every day, and you're fast moving, and you've got to get the kid off to soccer practice. Then you got to get over and do this, and you got to do that, and you got to pick up something for dinner. And bam, I hit. Next thing you know, your information's been compromised. Now, what can they do once you're compromised? What is the downside of this?
Well, if you click on something that you shouldn't, go drop your phone in the toilet. No, I'm just kidding. So if you click on something,
you know, that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Honestly, if you think that you've clicked on something that you should not have, there's a couple of things. Number one, immediately disconnect the device from the Ethernet or turn it off, okay? Or both, right? Because if your device is off, then there's no network to take your information from, okay? So if we think we've clicked on something, turn your device off or unplug the device from the Ethernet, okay? Now, if you think that's happened, once you turn that device off, contact somebody. Contact, if it's on your iPhone, you can contact Apple. If it's on the, something else at work, contact your IT department. But it's very important to turn that device off. And I think we just have to slow down. You know, I've gotten to the point now where I know someone like Oprah Winfrey is not going to want to friend me on Facebook or not going to want to send me a LinkedIn message. So instead of just clicking accept and then being prompted to enter your login information, you should stop, look at the source, and if it's not legit, delete it.
And get rid of it.
You're right. We get in a hurry. We go, oh, my gosh, this is great. Or, oh, no.
And if that doesn't work, just drop the phone in the toilet.
Then just drop the phone in the toilet.
And then go on with the rest of your day. You know, I think the world was probably a better place, Ashley, before we had cell phones. But that's just my estimation of the world. They had more fly fishing back then, and let's be honest, that's more entertaining to me.
Well, that is true.
There you go.
More fly fishing, less
electronics
issues.
Exactly. Anyhow, Ashley, thank you very much. Great conversation. Appreciate you stopping in.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Ashley Cook, everybody, mobile security expert right here on The Steve Gruber Show. Thank you for stopping in. It's Monday. Sure does feel like a little bit, too. Back in a moment. Mr. Sandman.